Yeah, the power of a test of accountability. I mean, what more do we need from testimonies like that, where you see individuals that have actually walked the journey? And there are many of you that are sitting here that have gone through a journey like this. Even myself, as one of the leaders in the life of this congregation, I've had to make myself accountable to guys. Just this week, funny enough, with a group of my preaching and leading guys, I ended up having to make myself accountable with an issue that I had to go and deal with. And the input and the insight that I got from that helped me to actually go and deal with the situation and landed the situation really, really well. I don't want to give details on it, just to honor individuals in that. But even myself, I need to be in a space that I can speak to people. And my words were, if you feel I'm out of line, please feel free to correct me. None of us are above anybody else here. This thing of accountability applies to all of us. I've had to speak to people around my budget. On a few occasions, I've shown my budget to some of the lead guys, guys in particular like Russell. And then also, you know, getting perspective when you want to buy a car or having to make some big decisions, having to deal with adult children. You know, many of us have got little kids and they grow up and they're easy to manage, but when they get to teenage levels, you get to 14 going on 25, they know everything, very difficult to navigate. And then when they get older, is having to navigate older children. And we've had Roland and Patty, we've had Henry and Miriam Stanhope from Azefontein, or people that we trust, who've been down this road, and we've had to open up our lives where they've had to help us as a couple navigate each other, because the moms generally are very shielding and very, you know, like that. And then the dads are like, come on, man, get your act together type of thing. And we've had to learn in the process, and of which, I mean, I remember Henry saying to me, Ants, just don't be her elder, be a dad. And it's like, you know, it's like you're changing these hats all the time. So the point of this is that this is something that applies to all of us. And so what I'm doing is, with what Mike shared last week, it was a brilliant message, well put together. The content was fantastic. I just did not feel that we needed to move on. And so I'm going to repeat some of that stuff, because I think it's something the Lord wants to drive down deep into us as a people, and you'll see why. But when we talk about a definition of accountability, I love this. It says accountability means permitting others to speak into your life, to encourage you, to correct you, and walk with you. This is how you grow and you remain faithful in the Lord. Accountability isn't just about avoiding sin, and that's the reason why I asked Corinne and Marika to come and share, because sometimes we think it's, oh, you know what, I've watched porn, now I need to go and make myself accountable to somebody and that I'm battling in this area. And often we think it's just around sin issues. It actually entails all of life. So for me, this becomes the area that we look at, is that it encompasses all areas of your life. It can be the smallest things. I love Gunther. You know, prior to getting married to you, Laura, I must tell you, I got lots of phone calls from Gunther. How do I do this? What do I do? You know, and it was all of those things. And even today still, I'll get calls. We'll say, what are your thoughts on this? What do you think about that? And so the beautiful thing is, it's that we're not telling people what to do, but we're giving perspective to help people make informed decisions. All right, it's very important that we are mindful of that. But if you're open to share and to be vulnerable, that's when God can move in your space. So there's this guy called John Wesley, and it's something that I will send out to the comm leaders this week. But John Wesley is a guy from the 1700s. He's the founder of the Methodist movement. And what happened was he put together a group of guys where 10 to 12 folk would come together, and they had these class meetings. And what they would do is they would not have a Bible study like we would have a comm group on a Wednesday night. These groups came together specifically where they actually had accountability times together. And specific questions would be asked. Things like, am I honest in all my words and actions? Have I done anything I would not want others to know? Am I defeated in any part of my life? And so what happened was they started to get these groups together. And it's very interesting. As I'm speaking about this, I'm just realizing when we transitioned Casey into Josh Jen 4 years ago, I remember saying to our guys that came from the Josh Jen side, I said, I want you to open up your homes, talk about hospitality. And all you're going to do is we're going to have meals together. And we just split everybody up and the rest is history. God just started to move. And that's how many of the comm groups formed. But in the same way, what happened with John Wesley, he did these groups and they had these accountability groups and then this movement started to form. And actually what happened was this was the place that people started to find healing and restoration and became whole because they were vulnerable with their lives. This is a place where people confessed their struggles, encouraged each other, prayed for each other. And the result was simply transformation. And so when we come together, the heart is not just to organize a meeting, but the heart is that we as Christ followers would really push into these meetings, allow God to work in us and allow him to work through us. And I often say to guys, you know, for example, if you're not at a comm group, you could miss an opportunity of somebody speaking into your life and changing your life. Or God could use you to really impact somebody else in that meeting. And so that's why we encourage people to get into these things, because this is where God moves. As a result of what happened here, John Wesley, the Methodist revival kicked off and it spread across England into America. And it was not just fueled by preaching, but actually because of the people holding one another accountable. Wesley himself says the following. He says, there is no holiness apart from social holiness. And what he meant by that was that faith cannot grow in isolation. This is how God chooses for us to walk together in this journey. The person on your left, right, in front of you, and behind you, God has destined and purposed for them to be there because we walk together in unity. We walk together in relationship. It starts with God, and then it starts with one another. Amen? So why are people nervous about accountability? I think for me, for many of folk, they find it extremely invasive. In Afrikaans, they say, "Jy wil maak sly krap." Does that sound familiar? For those that don't understand Afrikaans, "Jy wil maak sly krap," that means you want to scratch in my salad. In other words, you want to get into my business, because that's what often people feel like. And there's a few things that we need to realize why people are nervous about the accountability issue. It's the fear of exposure. They worry about people judging them, that they might be rejected. If I look at the two ladies that got up and shared this morning, and there was some weighty stuff in their decision-making that needed to happen, nobody stood in judgment of them. We said, whatever you decide, we will still love you. Okay, but you gave them perspective. And the other thing is, with the fear of exposure, will our weaknesses be revealed? We are frail, weak individuals. Can I tell you something this morning? You're battling with porn. You know how you get rid of that thing? You knock it on its head by acknowledging it for what it is, and immediately you actually disarm the powers and principalities in that area of your life because he no longer has a seat at your table. You're battling with smoking, alcohol, whatever the story might be. You battle with swearing, all of those things. Go and speak to somebody, not everybody, speak to your leaders. Get people that will hold you to account. Because often in this time, when we say to people, hold yourself accountable, you know what we do? We'll go to our friends who will give us what we want to hear rather than what we need to hear. And that's why the church struggles at times, because we live in that space. The second thing of why people are nervous is because of pride. It's just reluctance to admit struggles. We prefer to appear strong. What I've loved, you know, in our context is that I love it even in the Josh Jen story. And it's one of the reasons why it's so easy to follow the guys is because guys are open to acknowledge when they are weak, when they've messed up. And they will get up happily and repent and apologize or say, oh, I've struggled in this area, but I've got guys holding me accountable. Do you know why that is so important for us? It's a good question that you're asking. Because what it means is that we don't walk on water. We can relate to one another. None of us is above the other. We're all in this boat together. We're all facing issues together. And so we want to live in a space that we can model something for you so that you can live this out as well and show others in your area of influence why it's so important to be in accountable relationships. The other area that we look at is that we have past hurts. There's been issues of betrayal. I find often people don't want to be held accountable because they paint us as leaders with the same brush because of the way they were treated when they were growing up. That's a dangerous thing to do. You know, at the end of the day, our hearts are to help you as leaders, our common leaders, our deacons, the elders, and a fellow saint who really, really loves you should not want to judge you, but should also be open and if they need to bring correction, be willing to do that. You know, we can be so kind and we become sentimental that we can quietly take somebody's hand and not deal with the issue and lead them silently into hell. Sometimes our closest friends need to take decisions to actually hold us accountable because they see sin issues or things that are unhelpful in our lives. Does this make sense? Then the last one is the cultural independence. Some feel accountability threatens their personal freedom. Well, that just got smashed on its head this morning because we heard the two ladies say, what happened? They were brought into freedom. So, four reasons why accountability is good for us. Number one, for those of you making notes, accountability is God's design for growth. Proverbs 27 verses 17 says the following, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so this is where growth is provided for. What happens is in these moments, this is where when we hold ourselves accountable to others, we heard Marika saying that she felt that as she kept herself accountable, she was kept in line with God's word. She was kept in line with the spiritual standards that were out there for her. When you have a friend that you share in your heart with, it's about us being honest. It's about us being transparent. I think even Mike touched on it last week, that what happens is sometimes people will share with you what they think you want to hear, and you can only counsel or give perspective on the information that you've received. You might be in tune with the Holy Spirit, but we're not in tune to the point that we start to read your mind and the things that you aren't saying. So the information that you provide is incredibly helpful so that we can give you honest perspective. And things like when you are sitting with somebody, a question that you might be asking yourself is, how honest and transparent am I with the person? For example, am I honest in all acts of words or do I exaggerate? This is when we're connecting with people that love us, these are the kind of things that we should be asking ourselves. We see accountability is also a place that is safe and it will expose your hidden struggles as you reveal them. And then, are you open for the person to speak truthfully and lovingly into your life and to point out things that can help you grow in your journey? True accountability, when you go to a friend that will speak openly into your life, is the one that will ask you questions about your situation and that you are willing and open for the hard questions to be asked. And you are very welcome to ask me or my wife, Lee, the questions. How's your marriage doing? How's your parenting going? How's your finance going? And the questions that you might have, you're very welcome to come and ask. And that's how we should be living amongst one another. It just disarms the enemy. He doesn't get a foothold in us when we learn to live in this space. But can I be very clear on this? This is not because you want to go and delve into people's lives because you're wanting information. There's a big difference with that. Our heart is always to help the person going forward. Does that make sense? All right. Number two, accountability protects us from falling. Proverbs 15 verses 22 says the following, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So the beautiful thing is, guardrails keep us safe. I don't know about you, but for me, I'm afraid of heights. So I remember going up to the Eiffel Tower. Somebody got that. Because I was trying to be very romantic, and I remember taking my wife up, and we had paid to go to the very top. And when we got to the first level, I walked out, and I seriously battled with heights. I can fly in a plane, no problem, and land, no problem. But I literally walked out, and I realized, yo, we are very high, and we still got to go up. And I remember standing against the glass window, and Lee just walked straight out to the railing and just looked down and across. But the railing was there to protect her. Anyway, to end that story, the needless to say, Lee was very gracious that she didn't force me to go to the very top, because that lift that you go up, there's glass apparently. So when you're going up, it's straight up. There was no way she would have buried me in France. But you know, this is important, the guardrails for us. For example, if you're planning to move, and this is something that I've spoken to people with over the years, the one question I always ask is, if you are married, is your spouse on board? For me, if you're making big decisions that are going to impact your marriage or your family, are you all on board? In my own life, when we felt that the Lord had was going to plant a church in Brackenfell, which we did in 2007, and that in 2006 we'd been on church planters, and I already felt that the Lord was going to bring us to that place. But the thing is, I knew that God was calling us to go and plant a church. Lee was just saying, "No, I'm quite happy after church planters to be part of someone else's team, and we're just going to be doing our thing there." And I was like, eventually, I had to, by being accountable, submitting out of reverence for one another, I had to position myself and say, "Lord," and this was genuinely what happened, I prayed, I said, "I will not push or force Lee into full-time ministry. You prepare her heart, and when she's ready to go, then I know that we are ready to go." And that was in 2006. The December 2006, on Christmas Day, Lee gave me a book by John Ortberg. It says, "If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat." The minute she gave me that book, the kids were happily opening their Christmas presents and cheering. The minute I opened that book, and I saw that Lee just said to me, "Ants, when you're ready, we can go." And we just burst into tears. And so the point is this, we've got to be ready together. Because had I forced her into something and it went south, that would have caused major issues in our marriage. All right? So make sure that everybody's on board. And accountability helps us see dangers that we might ignore. And so it's important for us to get wisdom and insight. The third thing that we need to look at is that accountability feels risky, but it produces freedom. Let's see what James 5:16 says, and that scripture was used this morning again. "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." That righteous man is not because of who you are, it's because of who is in us. We are made righteous because of Jesus. And so when we pray, it's out of that place that the prayers become powerful and effective. So with that whole thing of, we come to the Lord, we want to bring things out into the light. You want to disarm the powers and principalities that are out there so that you can walk into freedom. That is the heart. This stuff is so basic and so simple, and often we think we need to get rocket science information, but you know what's important? It's about the application of God's word. And so we need to apply this to our lives. And I think that's what the Lord is wanting to deal with here, because this is how you break the power of sin over your life. And through this accountability comes restoration and no condemnation. The heart is to bring you into freedom. And the last point is, accountability balances support and responsibility. Let's have a look at what Galatians 6:2 says. "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Verse 5 says the following: "For each one should carry his own load." What's important with this is that as we hold ourselves accountable to those that are around us, it creates trust and support. That's what we should be experiencing. And then with that, it doesn't take away the responsibility that we have to carry our load. So when you share with somebody your situation or what you're facing, you always remain responsible to carry your load. A load shared is halved. But God will help you, and he will give you the strength, and he will give you the power to be able to carry your stuff. And the two ladies that came up and shared, living proof of that. And if I look at Marika's story, which involved a little bit more hectic stuff behind the scenes, we have seen the power of God and the wisdom of God working in her life and through her life. Let their testimonies this morning really stir you up to see that God really does mean business when we keep ourselves accountable. The other thing is, accountability is not others fixing your life, but it's walking it out together. I've had guys speak into my life through this journey in Josh Jen, and I'll be very honest with you, it's not easy. None of us like it. Nobody likes to have areas of your life being pointed out. Let me tell you what some people do when you highlight certain things in their life. You know what they do? They pack their bags and they leave the church. Don't live like that. That's like getting on an operating table and they cut open your heart and you don't like this surgeon and this operation that's happening. And so what people do is they get off the operating table, heart open, and they leave. You are going to die if you do that. And the heart is that, Lord, this is painful. It's not what I want to hear. But if this is good for me and I know that this person loves me and cares for me, I'm happy for you to work in my life. And I have been there myself personally. And so we need this in our lives. And then lastly, as I land with this, you get perspective and not permission. This is important. If there's anything that is directional, you always do it with two or three people, especially the elders in our midst, because we are responsible for people's lives. And we heard that scripture in Hebrews 13:17. We're responsible for people's lives. Don't give direction without being in accountable connections yourselves. And always bounce these things off. You cannot tell a person you may not buy a car. You may not buy a house. You may not get married. You may not do this. Unless it's a sin issue, that's a totally different thing. But that's when your elders come in and help you. The purpose is we will give you perspective so that you can make informed decisions. I love what Corinne said. She spoke with me. She spoke with Andre. We didn't talk to each other. And actually, what should happen is that if we are giving biblical perspective, Corinne should be hearing the same thing from me that Andre is saying to her, and the other way around. I remember one of the team guys who's on team years ago said to me, I don't know about you elders, because I'm sure when I speak to you, you guys talk to each other. I said, well, why do you say that? He said, because I spoke to you, and I went to this guy. He said exactly what you said, and I went to this guy, and he said exactly what that guy said. So you guys are talking to each other. You're like three peas in a pod. And I go, praise God. Because when we give perspective, we don't give our opinion. We give what God's word says, and we line it up accordingly. Amen. So, landing. Again, I want to stress, this is why being in community, being in fellowship is so important. It helps build discipleship amongst us, all right, which is what we're aiming for and pushing for. And then also in these moments, like we have experienced today, and also when you come together on a Wednesday evening, as we're sharing our lives and doing life together and in the one-on-ones, that's when the transformation happens, because that's how God moves. It encourages consistency in prayer, Bible reading, family, and the mission that God has placed us on. So, the call to action here is don't walk out this journey on your own. God didn't design it like that. Seek out a trusted friend, your leaders, 2 to 3 max in terms of who you should be speaking to. And can I encourage, please, we're part of the family here. It doesn't help you keep yourself accountable outside of this body because we don't know what's going on. I don't have a problem if you've got somebody outside who's part of the local church and you're getting perspective and input from an outside, but you should actually be getting it here, because this is the place that we walk it out together to help each other. And if you've got somebody else and you do bounce it off them, that's not a problem. But make sure that you land well in this context. Why? Because we as leaders need to know the condition of the flock and what's happening in your lives. Not because we have to. It's because we're willing and God has ordained it like that. All right. And then give people permission to speak into your life and to ask the hard questions. Leaders, model that for the folk. And then very importantly, let's encourage one another to push deeper in and to walk deeper into what God has for each of us. I land with this. Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Please leave that scripture up. This is what I want to encourage us this morning. If you are visiting here this morning and you are not yet saved, I want to encourage you this morning. One day we will stand before God, whether you are saved. That means that you have made a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, recognizing that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. You will stand before God one day and give an account. If you choose not to follow him, you will stand before him one day having to give an account of the choices and decisions that you've made. My plea for you this morning is that if you are not yet saved, and you realize that if you were to die today, Herman had an experience this week that could have taken his life while he was in Friedendahl. He had an experience this week. It came on him just like that. His life and his family's lives could have changed. I want to plead with you this morning. If you are visiting here this morning and you're not yet saved, our hearts is that you would receive Jesus this morning as Lord and Savior. You know why? Because God allows these moments. Because you will give an account one day. You can't stand before the Lord one day and say, yeah, but Lord, where was that opportunity? The Lord will role play everything for you over your life. Every conversation that was had in a school hall where you heard something being preached from the front in an assembly, right through to this day or days going on where the truth of the gospel had been brought to you. And he'll say to you, but I gave you all this opportunity. But you chose not to respond. Can we bow our heads? This morning, perhaps there's somebody here that realizes they're going to stand before God and have to give an account. This morning, the heart is, would you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And perhaps you've been visiting the church for a while. You know, visiting the church doesn't make you a Christian. Recognizing your need for Jesus and your need for forgiveness and receiving that this morning is what sets you apart. Is there anybody here with our heads bowed down who would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Just want you to raise your hand and we're going to pray with you. Is there anybody? Okay, there's no hands. If there's anybody, welcome to come and chat to me afterwards. With our heads bowed down, Lord, this morning, we want to thank you that your word as it ends here is that one day we will all stand before you and give an account. My prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would move powerfully in our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we as a people will be extravagantly vulnerable before you. Lord, with the issues that we are wrestling with or things that we need to process. And then at the same time, Lord, we ask that you would move powerfully in our lives to go and speak to our comm leaders, to the deacons, to the elders, or a trusted friend that will give us what we need to hear rather than what we want to hear. And Father, we ask that you would move powerfully over this body, move powerfully over our lives. Lord, that we will do business with you, Lord. Because we don't want the enemy to have a foothold in our lives. Father, where we've entertained sin and we've concealed it, Your word teaches us, it says that our bones actually dry up. And people die inwardly. I want to pray this morning, the Holy Spirit, you would convict us this morning to take this word seriously, the word that Mike preached last week as well, that we would take this seriously, Lord, and no longer allow the enemy to have a foothold in our lives. We want to disarm the powers and principalities that have had a stranglehold in our lives, where we've concealed sin or tried to be our own man, our own woman, self-sufficient, self-dependent. This morning, Lord, we come with hearts totally surrendered to you to say, Lord God, give us the strength to overcome our fears here and to be vulnerable with those that we share our story with. Thank you this morning that you've heard this prayer, Lord. Thank you this morning that you love these people, Lord. Thank you this morning that you want to see her flourish. This is your beautiful bride, your precious possession. And I pray this morning, Lord, with the word that was preached last week and this morning, that it will just continue to transform us. Help us to become more like Jesus. We pray this in your precious name. And all God's people said, amen.